Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Bienvenidos otra vez a nuestra clase de discipulado aquí con nosotros en la Iglesia Bautista de Simple Fe, donde la Biblia nos cambia, no cambiamos la Biblia. Let's go ahead and continue, guys, with our book material that we've been going through. One book, Rightly Divided. We are going to pick up where we left off last Friday on page 588. Vamos a continuar estudiando donde dejamos pasado viernes estudiando nuestro tópico de el día del Señor. Where let's go ahead and pick up where we left off talking about the topic of the day of the Lord, of some Bible doctrine concerning the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule, reign, and judge over the earth for 1,000 years, and then he is going to have one last battle with Satan and the inhabitants of the earth that are going to continue to live at that time, and then one last judgment from God to completely, destroy that Antichrist, rebellious God spirit in man and the devil, and then eventually God is going to create new heavens and new earth. And he is going to judge all of mankind and the fallen angels at the great white throne judgment. And then eternity will officially, if you will, commence where the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven merge for eternity. We're just going to have nothing but peace with God forever and ever and ever. And all the former things will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. It's going to be a good time to look forward to. Entonces, vamos a continuar hablando de lo que la Biblia enseña de un tiempo en el futuro que se llama el Día del Señor, cuando regrese Jesucristo a la tierra para juzgar en su reino de Jerusalén por 1,000 años, literalmente. Y la Biblia nos dice que después de esos 1,000 años, que otra vez y última vez más Satanás y con los habitantes del mundo que viven en esos tiempos van a rebelar, as you say, rebel, van a ir a Jerusalén a pelear con el Señor una vez más. Y dice la Biblia en el último libro de la Biblia, en Apocalipsis, que Dios los va a juzgar y los va a destruir en su acto de en sus planes que van a tener contrario al Señor allí en Jerusalén. Y luego en ese tiempo el Señor va a crear nuevos cielos y tierra y va a juzgar a todos los seres humanos que vivían desde el primer ser humano Adán y hasta el último que no creyeron en él. Se llama el juez sea blanco o the great white throne. El trono o el juez del trono blanco de Dios, donde Dios va a juzgar a los ángeles malos, Satanás y todos los habitantes del mundo que han vivido, que no creyeron en él para su la vida eterna que va a empezar de esos tiempos. Entonces, eso estamos hablando ahorita en nuestro tema de nuestra clase, y por eso nos queremos preparar para servir al Señor para en su reino en la eternidad, después de cuando juzga en ese día, y cuando Él va a crear los cielos y la tierra de nuevo. Vamos a servir por siempre y siempre a por toda la eternidad. Entonces, nos queremos vivir hoy lo mejor que podemos, como vamos a vivir por él en el futuro. So today, our hope and goal is that we will continue to live for him as we will in the eternal. That is, we want to live holy. We want to live righteously. We want to live in a manner that is pleasing to God. Queremos vivir en una manera que es santo, que es justo en los ojos de Dios, como preparándonos para esa vida que va a venir en el futuro sirviendo él en su reino. So quick announcements before we get started. Don't forget, tomorrow is our trip to London. If you would like to go with us, please let my wife and I know. We're going to be leaving around 6 to 6:30. Get a coffee. It's about an hour and a half north We're going to go serve with the brethren. I'm going to do their sound video to help them out there. And we're going to go serve the Lord. It'll be a great mission trip for those of you who would like to go on a mini mission trip to go minister in the hood. It'll be a great experience for some of you. And then we're going to have dinner. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be an all-day thing. We've been announcing it for the past couple of weeks, you guys know. Number two announcement, next Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, we've been invited to a church conference up north in Corona. So if you'd like to go with us after church, my wife and I will be going. Remember, we've been announcing that as well. And Monday night, if you would like to go with us the 30th, I believe that's what it is as well. Again, we're letting you guys know ahead of time so that way you could try your best to join, if you will, me with Katie in representing our church and our ministry to go fellowship with other churches. Not, and you never know when you might meet a great friend that you might enjoy time with. So Corona is the last Sunday of the month, the 29th, and then Monday night as well. So it's a little cool, you know, mini Bible conference there, if you will, church conference, and good time to meet some good friends. Amen. So, anuncias, mañana nos vamos a ir a una iglesia en La Puente, como una hora y media norte. Nos vamos a ir en la mañanita, anuncionamos si quieren ir con nosotros para introducirles a otras iglesias y servir, están invitados. Y el último domingo del mes, el 29, si quieren venir otra vez con nosotros a visitar otra iglesia, nos estamos invitados por un pastor amigo mío en Corona, California, a su conferencia de la iglesia que van a tener ahí. So, nomás queremos anunciar eso con normalmente nuestros anunciados. And then next Thursday, we'll be out there soul winning at the Sunset Market. If you'd like to go with us, that'd be a blessing. Próxima jueves, nos vamos a ir a evangelizar otra vez. Si pueden también venir con nosotros, that would be, sería una bendición. All right, guys. So, anyone else have any announcements you'd like to make? Everybody doing okay? Everybody's having a good end of the week? Everybody? School? Gibby? Jasmine? Everything's going good? All right. You guys look tired. You a little tired, huh? All right. We'll get some coffee, man. Okay. All right. And study together. So I'm going to have the Bible there, if you will, English and Spanish to help out. Vamos a tener la Biblia en inglés y en español para ayudar durante nuestros estudios. And I've been enjoying doing a verse-by-verse study of the original 1602 Bible that came out before the King James Bible, comparing them with three major Spanish editions that are very popular today: the Reina Valera Gomez, which is the one that's on the right side, the 1602 Purificado, which is the one I have out there in the pews, and then the 2016 from the Spanish Trinitarian Bible Society. And as of I'm just telling you, I've been doing that work and the effort verse by verse. It's been amazing. The Lord's been just helping me to understand more the book of Galatians, because it's a verse by verse comparison. So I have the antique one right here on the internet. And then just, you know, going through them verse by verse, I believe so far the Reina Valera Gomez is first place for the meaning. That way we can translate over from our doctrine, the King James Bible, into Spanish. The 1602 would be second place. There's key words that they don't have that this one does. And the third one would be the 2016 over there from the Spanish Bible Trinitarian Society. So as you guys know, Brother Carlos, I love to study. I like to read. And that's my observation. So I'm going to go ahead and order more of those Bibles so that way you guys can have other options as well to study from. So this will be the one that I'll use for the comparison because it's just easy. It's already a part of the software. And then I'm going to order those Bibles after I get paid so that way I can bless you guys with another Spanish Bible for study. It'll be good to keep studying, keep learning. And that's how my recommendation would be. All right. So page 588, let's go ahead and pick up where we left off. One book, rightly divided. And let's go ahead and open a prayer. So, Father in heaven, I thank you for allowing us to gather in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, free from persecution, free from threats, violence. Many of our brethren, God, don't have the liberties like we do here in California to open up a Bible and to study it, to set apart time, to mature our mind and our heart, to conform to Jesus Christ tonight with our soul, our heart, and our conduct tonight. God, would you please continue to minister to our hearts as we study the Bible, study doctrine, so that way it'll change our life. God, if we don't leave changed tonight, God, if we don't leave with that much more of a desire to serve your Son, Jesus Christ, better than when we came in through those doors, Lord, we're not doing our job. Our heart's not in the right place. So tonight, God, for just this next 45 minutes to an hour, God, help us now to be a free from distractions, God, so we can give you our whole attention. We've given our job attention. We've given our families attention, God, just for this next couple of minutes of our study tonight. God, help us to give our mind to you wholly. Help us to take notes, ask questions. So, God, whatever information we learn would be used to change our life, because we want to look more like Christ. We want to be more like him in our conduct, and we want to be a reflection of what we believe in to those that are not saved around us. So that's our hope and prayer, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have been talking about the day of the Lord. Quick refresher for those of you guys who've been with us. It is a future time that will happen in which Jesus Christ will return the second time to the earth. And in that second coming, he is coming to judge the inhabitants of the earth. There's going to be a lot of supernatural things that are going to take place. We talked about the sun not giving its light. We talked about the moon turning into... anyone? Blood. Good job. We talked about all that supernatural stuff that you hear about maybe growing up, even before you became a Christian, like Armageddon, the end of the world, the New World Order, all that stuff. That's going to happen in a future time. But the good news, as we've been studying together, the Christian who is genuinely born again, the sinner that is genuinely born again, we are not to undergo that time of judgment, because when you ask Jesus to save you, he already took your judgment for your sin upon the cross. And so when you responded to him and you asked him to come into your heart, he did. So now legally, you are freed now from the future condemnation that is going to come over the whole world. And now, hopefully, you're living for him the best you can every day, knowing that you have escaped the future condemnation judgment that is going to come upon the whole earth. So that's why we're trying our best to witness to our unbelieving family members and our friends to get saved, to ask Christ to save them now, because it would be almost impossible during that time with droughts, famines, sicknesses, supernatural entities being manifest. We're talking about evil angels and devils and hail and lightning and fire. And there's just going to be so many things that are going to be taking place on the earth. It's going to be very, very difficult for people to trust in the Lord. So right now, while it's easy, if you will, let's encourage each other to keep being witnesses for Christ, giving somebody a tract, inviting them to church, just telling them that they need to be saved so that way they can escape this horrible time that's going to come upon the earth. But as we've been studying together, a lot of this has to do with one little small people group on the planet, the people of the nation of Israel. So this little small group of people on the planet, the main attention for the Antichrist, that future one world government, if you will, all that you hear about, it really is going to focus on them. Because even Satan's last attempts is to try to destroy the Jew from the promises that God gave them concerning the inheritance of the land. So if he can try to exterminate Jews, he's going to try to thwart the plan of God. But as we've seen throughout the Bible many, many times in our studies, that God is faithful to his word, and it's going to come to pass. So it has to deal and mainly and focus with primarily the nation of Israel. So that means the rest of the Gentiles that are living on the earth, they're going to be the, if you will, the... they're going to benefit from their judgment, but also God is going to deal with the rest of the earth because of their rebellion against believing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're talking about, and let's just kind of continue to study here together. So let's read here, 588. Christ returns with armies on the day of the Lord as a thief, as a thief. Unlike the church's blessed hope, the beginning of the day of the Lord is not associated with comforting believers, but with the execution of the Lord's vengeance against his enemies. You guys can see all those verses there. Isaiah 2:12, Isaiah 13:6, Isaiah 34:8, 46:10, Lamentations 2:22. I mean, there's a ton of these verses. Each of these passages announces that the day of the Lord involves destruction, howling, cruel wrath, fierce anger, desolation, vengeance, recompense, terrors, the Lord's anger, cloudy day, sun turned into darkness, moon into blood, darkness, day of the Lord's sacrifice, punishment, bitter crying, a dreadful day, and that all of this is coming as a thief upon an unsuspecting and unrepentant world. You can read that in Revelation 9, 20 through 21, and also Revelation 16, 9 through 11. The day of the Lord will encompass the Lord's day of vengeance upon his enemies and continue through the Lord's 1,000-year reign upon the earth. The heavens passing away and the formation of the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21:1. The confusion is compounded by those who fail to distinguish between the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. The description of catastrophic destruction surely does not equate to the day of Christ, as we can see in 2 Thessalonians 2, Philippians 1:10, and Philippians 2:16. The association between Christ's second advent and the coming of a thief offers a spiritual picture of the event. According to Joel 2:9, the Lord's army, which we know because New Testament, consists of the saved saints from heaven, Revelation 19:14, like a thief. The Lord also reminded the Thessalonian believers that they knew perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You can read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. In a similar context, Simon Peter warned that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord Jesus identified the applicable event when he promised in Revelation 16:15. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles there. Revelation 16:15. If you have the book, we're on page 589. And if you don't, you have the best book. You have the Holy Bible. Revelation 16:15. And here's what the Bible says here. Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." Dice Jesús en Apocalipsis 16:15, "Aquí yo vengo como ladrón. Bienaventurado el que vela y guarda sus vestiduras para que no ande desnudo y vean su vergüenza." When the Lord returns at his second advent, he will come upon an unsuspecting and ill-prepared world. So, who is coming as a thief? The Lord. And here's what we can find here in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. I'm going to try my best to summarize what we're discussing in Spanish at the end of our English, and then we'll keep trying to go there. So look at here in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Primer Tesalonicenses, capítulo 5, versículo 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Pero acerca de los tiempos y de los momentos, no tenéis necesidad, hermanos, de que yo os escriba. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Porque vosotros sabéis perfectamente que el día del Señor vendrá como ladrón en la noche." So, notice how he's writing to Christians in verse number 1. Mira cómo está escribiendo primeramente en versículo 1 a los cristianos. Porque dice hermanos en versículo 1. See how it says brethren in verse number 1? So I know I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago, but I need to remind you, because that's my job, reminding you what the Bible says. Do not entertain teachers, pastors, Christians, or anybody who wants to say there's somebody representing God who wants to distract you from the future by trying to overwhelm you and flood you with so much information of this season or this time, or look at this thing and look at this corruption. Because notice what the Holy Spirit of God is redirecting their attention to. They know that they don't need to focus so much on that versus what the future already has in store for them. Look at verse 2. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So when the thief is going to come in the night, there is no preparation. When a thief comes to kill, if you know, not to kill, so to destroy, but when the thief comes to break into your home, they don't give you an announcement. You understand? So what we find interesting here is there are so many of these Christians nowadays, Baptists and unBaptists, who are making so much money by writing books and commentaries, and they just want to tickle your ears with, we have the time and the season when Jesus is going to come back, or, hey, look at this guy, or the Antichrist. And no, there's no need for you to learn that and to focus so much on that. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking unto Jesus, and if that information distracts you from conforming to his image, that's a problem. So as you guys know, as your pastor, I will emphasize Christ and your obedience to him versus the Antichrist and your attention for him, because it's not going to benefit your walk with the Lord whatsoever. So look at verse number 3. I want you to see something very interesting here. He says in verse number 1, "Brethren, ye have that I write unto you. You yourselves know," verse number 2. Do you see there? Now look at verse 3. "When they shall say, peace and safety, and sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Mira como el Señor dice en versículo 1 a los hermanos, dice, hermanos, que yo os escriba, vosotros sabéis. Y en versículo 3, mira, que cuando digan paz, seguridad, entonces vendrá sobre ellos destrucción repentina, como los dolores a la mujer que da a luz, y no escaparán. So, la atención del contexto no está hablando a los cristianos, pero a la gente que van a vivir en esos tiempos en el futuro, que están diciendo paz y seguridad con el reino del anticristo. Por eso dice aquí el Espíritu Santo, el día del Señor viene como ladrón en la noche. So we're not having to worry about that for the Christian. That's what I want to point you out to this evening. Nosotros cristianos no necesitamos preocuparnos por esas cosas, porque nosotros no necesitamos tener miedo escapar a ese tiempo, porque ya somos salvos. You understand? So there's no need for the Christian to worry about escaping a time of destruction. Do you see there in verse number 3? And de destrucción, no estamos tener miedo si estamos en Cristo. Look at verse number 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So do you guys see now the context? Notice how he is referring to that day like a thief coming in the night. It's just going to come unexpected upon those people living at that time. That's how you know this is obviously not for the Christian, because he already told us it's not for you to know the times or seasons, Acts chapter 1. I showed you that. So we're not worried about time, or we're not worried about a future time of judgment. What are we worried about right now, or hopefully you are? We should be worried about how much am I looking like Christ right now? How much am I being obedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ for those of you who are single in your singlehood, married in the marriedhood? So how much am I focusing on the person of Christ, not the future time of judgment? So that's what I just want to warn you in love. You guys have freedom. You can listen to whoever you want under the sun. But when you continue to entertain yourself with those supposed teachers, and they want to focus on times and judgments and destruction and Antichrist agenda, what I find interesting is that they're providing information that the Bible doesn't. So I'm just telling you in love, don't entertain them too much where it's going to distract you from what? Focusing on yourself looking more like Christ. I'm telling you right now, brethren, knowing who the Antichrist is and all the 666 Illuminati stuff is not going to help you love your wife. Knowing about the Antichrist agenda and all the evils that are going to take place with secret societies and, you know, the one world currency, it's not going to make you want to read your Bible. You understand? So that's what's going to help you to do that is love for Jesus. So again, that's a side nugget. I'm not here to preach tonight, but you understand that means a lot to me, because a lot of you have, and I did at some point in my past, I was entertaining all those guys because I wanted to know the secrets. But you know what I wasn't doing, brothers? I wasn't focusing on what I knew already, and I wasn't being as obedient as I should have. Amen on anybody out there? So focus on what you know. Focus on the information you already have, and don't worry. So, mira, en versículo 4 dice, más vosotros, hermanos, no en tinieblas, para que aquel día os sorprenda como ladrón. Entonces, otro punto o perspectiva en cómo nosotros interpretamos estos versículos que no están escritos a los cristianos, porque nosotros no somos en tinieblas. Is that how I say it? Anybody out there? That word right there. Tinieblas, right? Somos en la luz. ¿Por qué? Porque somos en Cristo. Entonces, cuando lees esos versículos del versículo 2, como el Señor vendrá como ladrón en la noche, pero en el contexto de quién está hablando, a los que van a estar sorprendadas como en ese tiempo cuando el Señor viene, a los que están en tinieblas en ese tiempo en el futuro. Entonces, la Biblia nos, how do you say, gives us warning? Anybody out there? Anybody know how to say that in Spanish? Or the Bible warns us. How do I say that? Anybody? Oh, there you go. Okay. Let's see here. Thank God for technology. Biblia nos advierte de no poner mucho atención a los que dicen en sí mismo, soy maestro, pastor, mira mis videos de profecía de futuro tiempo y corrupción con gobiernos y cosas acerca de anticristo para ponerte en miedo para ese tiempo que va a venir de destrucción, como dice aquí en versículo 3. No necesitas poner mucha atención en esas cosas porque la Biblia no te manda a enfocar en esas cosas, más enfocar en el Hijo de Dios, Jesucristo, en conformar a su imagen. Entonces, ahorita, por ejemplo, aprendiendo más de quién es Anticristo, el gobierno corrupción que va a venir, que dicen el orden nuevo del mundo, eso no te va a ayudar a ti a leer más tu Biblia. Eso no te va a ayudar a ti personalmente a querer ir a la iglesia, evangelizar. Esas cosas no te van a ayudar eso. Lo que te va a ayudar a ser mejor cristiano es amar a Cristo. Entonces, por eso, cuando está hablando a los hermanos en Tesalónica, he redirects their attention out there. Él redirige su atención al Señor. Mira, en versículo 5. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Porque todos vosotros sois hijos de luz e hijos del día. No somos de la noche ni de las tinieblas. Otra vez. Entonces, en este tiempo que estamos hablando, el día del Señor que va a venir como ladrón, ese día no es para ti. ¿Por qué? Son para los que están en tinieblas, no para los que están en el día. ¿Me entienden? So this time is not for you, children of light. It's for the children of who? Darkness. You're in light. So there you go. Comment, brother. Go ahead. So what's your question? That's some good observation, though, you got. I kind of think I... So I kind of understand. Let me kind of feedback on you. I think what you're referring to is first of all, number one, the reality that this time are for people who are left behind after the rapture, and because of that, number one fact, they're not born again Christians, and so since they rejected the gospel, they will be left behind. Therefore, they're going to be in the time of darkness in the sense of that spiritual state of what the Bible calls strong delusion. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So because they already rejected God, God is going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. We know that there's still going to be a remnant of Jews that will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Gentiles will still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you're familiar with, the condition is you have to refuse that. So they may lose their lives, right? So those people, they're still going to be obviously covered by the grace of God. But here's what we can do now. Let's say someone becomes a Christian. They walk after the flesh. They become carnal or they're carnally minded. They are walking in darkness. But their position in Christ, what you refer to, that keyword standing, is they've obtained salvation. So they already received salvation. They're no longer appointed to condemnation because they're positionally in Christ. But if they walk after the flesh, hence darkness, they will still be judged, but not for salvation because they trusted Christ. Will it be difficult for them to comprehend spiritual things? Yes, because God will not, if you will, help further understanding of the Word of God and revelation for a disobedient Christian because they are they're refusing willingly, and they're grieving the Holy Spirit, number two. So let me share with you a couple of those verses, and then we'll move on, because This is really important to understand. Okay, first of all, let's go here. Let's go to, watch this. This is an Old Testament verse, and I was going to send you guys a devotional message on this. And I found this very, very interesting. It's in the book of Psalms. It's in the book of Psalms. So let's go there quickly. Watch this. This is really good, brother. I was reading this the other day. Man, that's a good verse. Okay, look at this, and then we'll go to 1 John chapter number 1. Look at Psalm 100 and verse number 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So at that time, you're going to have a lot of Christians that are going to disappear at the rapture, and there goes people who fear the Lord. And there is going to be a general state of mankind who does not fear God. Hence, they're left behind. Their hearts are going to be even more hardened. If they don't fear God, like the angel is going to be flying through the heaven. I know I'm talking about their stuff in the book of Revelation. What is the angel telling the inhabitants on the earth? Fear God. You know, like that's the message. You guys can understand. He's the creator. You're not. So stop believing in these statues, you know, and all that other stuff. But that's another lesson. Okay. So here we have it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they. His praise endureth forever. What did I miss? That do his commandments. All right, now keep this in mind. God will give you wisdom. It starts with you fearing him, knowing that he's the creator and you're the creature. So we understand that. We believe in God. We know he exists. We know he's the creator. I know that I am inferior and I believe he is superior. If he commands me to do something, I believe I should. And if I don't, I know because he's God, there's a consequence. So I start with that humble state of mind. God, you're God. I'm not. I'm approaching you with reverence, with fear, with knowing that you have all power. But notice what the Lord said there. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. So you can have your standing before God justified by faith. But now with that personal relationship between you and Jesus, he wants to help you to learn more of his Bible. But if you don't want to do his commandments and you want to walk after the flesh, you're not going to have a good understanding. You're not going to have the understanding that you should have and have because you're not yielding yourself in obedience to the flesh. We're just speaking in general. And then keep that in mind. Let's go to one more. 1 John chapter 1. Look at here in 1 John chapter 1. Estamos hablando de la tema de qué pasa con los que reciben Cristo y convierten a él, que son cristianos, pero caminan en la carne, siguen haciendo cosas como la Biblia describe entenables. Dice la Biblia que su conocimiento todavía puede estar en oscuridad porque no están dejando al Dios por el Espíritu Santo ayudarlos personalmente, conocer más a Él personalmente porque están viviendo una vida rebelde a Él y su voluntad. Entonces es algo muy triste cuando lo cristiano recibe luz, pero prefiere las tinieblas más que la luz. Entonces no van a crecer en la conocimiento de Él y su voluntad si no hacen su palabra, si no obedecen, ¿me entiendes? So, eso es lo que estamos hablando de la pregunta del hermano. So look here in 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Y este es el mensaje que oímos de él y os anunciamos que Dios es luz y en él no hay ningunas tinieblas o tinieblas. ¿Cómo se dice? Tinieblas. Thank you. So, ¿quién está escribiendo esta carta? El apóstol Juan. El apóstol Juan, él caminó con Cristo por muchos años. Él lo siguió, él era su discípulo y él miró cuando Cristo resucitó entre los muertos, él todavía lo siguió y él recibió más revelación de Cristo antes que regresó al cielo con el Padre. ¿Y qué era el mensaje generalmente que él nos está poniendo en recuerdo? Eso es lo que dijo Jesús, que Dios es luz, y en él no hay ninguna tinieblas. Entonces, muy importante escuchar esa palabra y versículo, porque si yo estoy batallando con la carne, mi carne quiere seguir las cosas en los tinieblas. Eso es el pecado en mí. Eso no es el Espíritu Santo en mí. El Espíritu Santo en mí me quiere ayudar a acercarme más a la luz, caminando con Él en luz, para que pueda tener una buena relación con Él. Y Él, en regreso, me quiere dar más conocimiento de su palabra. So, notice, guys, how the Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When you find your flesh wanting the things of darkness, that is the world, that's not the Holy Spirit of God in you. That's just your flesh. And that's what you need to fight against every single day if you want to continue to learn in your understanding of God and His Word. Now look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, so here's the person that Brother Joe is describing, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now look at that, brother. That's good. Do not. So what did we read earlier in Psalm 111? Good understanding have they that do His commandments. So here's a Christian. Here's a brother. He just got saved. She just got saved. They're excited. They got baptized. They did it all. They got the right Bible, everything. But they're walking in darkness. Well, according to the Holy Spirit, they're lying concerning what? Their fellowship with Him. Not their understanding of Him and not their position in Him, but their fellowship with Him. That's a very important thing to maintain. Obviously, for those of us that are married, it's a very good analogy, because if there's infidelity taking place between husband and wife, there's no fellowship, there's no trust, there's no communication, right? Between two persons, there's no agreement to one and the other. The Bible says in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be in agreement? So here's a Christian who says, I believe in God, I love Jesus, Holy Spirit power, and it all. But if they walk in darkness, Holy Spirit of God says, you're lying. You know who I am, but you're not fellowshipping with me. Okay, now look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at this in versículo 6. Si decimos que tenemos comunión con Él y andamos en tinieblas, mentimos y no practicamos la verdad. Mas si andamos en luz, como Él está en luz, tenemos comunión unos con otros, y la sangre de Cristo, su Hijo, nos limpia de todo pecado. So, before we claim the last half, because that's what everybody's favorite verse is, oh, the blood of Jesus, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. You can plead the blood all day long, brother. But in here, right in my heart, only God knows, right? All of you can be fooled by me on the outside. And you can fool everyone else, whoever you are on the outside. You can come to church, you can dress the part, but you know right in here and in the privacy of when no one's looking, you know if you truly are walking with the Lord in fellowship or not. Before you claim the blood, here's what He wants for you to do. He wants you to walk in the light. Now, if that's true, brother, if this is a command, then what does that tell me? Then I can do that. It is possible for me to walk in the light. It's not a mystery, if you will. If I walk in the light, I have fellowship with Him. If I don't walk in the light and I'm walking in darkness, which is what? You're right, walking after the flesh, just carrying out the lusts, right? I'm obviously being rebellious against God. I'm resisting the Holy Spirit when deep down in my soul and my spirit, He's telling me, don't do that, son. You shouldn't do that, son. You know that's not what the Bible says. When I resist that, here's what the Bible says in another place. So keep your mind there, but I'll just quickly show on the screen. Look at Ephesians 4:30. The Bible says here, and by the way, it does not affect your salvation. What does it affect according to 1 John 1? Your fellowship with God. Cuando nosotros, cristianos, andamos en los tinieblas, siguiendo el carne más que el Espíritu Santo, no nos afecta nuestra salvación, porque salvación es por fe, ¿verdad? Nos afecta nuestra comunión con Él. Look at verse 30, Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. Y no contristéis al Espíritu Santo de Dios, con el cual estás selados para el día de la redención. Entonces, estás guardado. Su salvación está guardado. El Señor lo va a guardar hasta el último día. ¿Cómo se dice preserved en Spanish? ¿Preservado? ¿Pre? Oh, man, praise God for technology. Look at this here. All right, let's see who's right here. Somos preservados en Cristo. Pero cuando el cristiano camina en el carne, ¿qué dice la Biblia? Construyamos al Espíritu Santo. We grieve the Spirit of God. So now, going back to that point, let me just finish there with 1 John, and then we'll keep on going on, and hopefully I was able to help you with that understanding. And if not, brother, then just forbear with me. Amen. Look at verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So what's the good news? I know what the blood provided for me. I know what the blood does for me. But do I let the blood have the effect within me? You say, what does that mean? The blood provided for you atonement. It paid the sin debt you owed God. Okay, so it legally paid sin debt. Every sin that little Joe did from a little chamaquillo hasta edad, you know, viejito, every single thing he did wrong, the blood of Jesus paid for every single bad thing. Sister Eileen, same thing. Every little thing that she did, little chamaquilla, hasta, you know, old viejita, every bad thing, the blood of Jesus was sufficient to pay the legal debt that sin transgressed the laws of God. So that's what it does. So you understand the atonement. But the question is, did we let the blood affect us? How? By cleansing us from darkness and helping us to walk in the light. So don't stop there. Oh, nothing but the blood. Praise God. I know you have the intellectual understanding of what it did for you. But are you letting it have its effect in you? The power that it provided for you to walk in light. Okay, look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Obviously, like that here today. Dice en versículo 7, más si andamos en luz, como Él está en luz, tenemos comunión unos con otros, si la sangre de Jesucristo, su Hijo, nos limpia de todo pecado. Si decimos que no tenemos pecado, nos engañamos a nosotros mismos, si la verdad no está en nosotros. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then look at the last half. Here's what I mean by letting the blood have the effect within your life. Are you ready? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonar nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de todo maldad. Eso es lo que estoy enseñando esta noche, que dejar el sangre de Cristo a tener el poder para afectar a ti adentro, para que puede limpiarte de qué? Todo maldad. So letting the blood have the effect in your life, that is what we obviously should be striving for, right? So then here's the point. Christian, saved, his position, secure because of grace, faith, we know that. But if he or she continues to walk after the flesh, which means darkness, what does that mean for that brother? We don't know. Right? We don't know for that sister. I can tell you many years ago, Brother Carlos was still immature, living carnally. I had my problems. I had my things going on. And you know who you are here as well. Whoever and desires to love darkness more than light, Jesus just said their deeds. You see verse 19? So it's a lust. It's an action. It's a deed. So when they want to walk after that more than the light, yes, their spiritual understanding will stay stagnant. They will not increase in spiritual understanding because they're resisting God. They're resisting the Holy Spirit of God. They're not going to receive spiritual understanding and maturity in the doctrine or things of God because they're minding the flesh. But at any moment, that brother and sister comes to God and they repent, man. They get on their knees and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've been living like this for all this time. Would you please forgive me? He is ready and willing to forgive. 1 John 1. The blood will provide what it has already provided, which is the cleansing from their unrighteousness. And as soon as they're ready to move forward in that sincere moment of repentance, moving on, the Lord can keep working on them where he desired from the first day. Now, again, that's a personal thing between God and everybody. Obviously, he's merciful. Amen. Does that kind of help out? Yeah, so spiritual maturity. If brethren walk after the flesh, they're hindering the Spirit of God. They're grieving him. So we're not letting God grow us, mature us, and give us wisdom as he desires to, because we're telling him no, is what we're saying, right? So es muy importante caminar en la luz, porque si no caminamos en luz y preferemos caminar en tinieblas, no vamos a madurar en la fe y no vamos a dejar el Espíritu Santo a crecer nuestro conocimiento en las cosas de Dios. So es importante seguir más a la luz. Amen. So going back to what we're talking about, the day of the Lord, notice the difference. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it's coming upon those people because positionally they're in darkness. And since they didn't want the light, they didn't want the truth of the gospel, God is going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie because that's what they preferred versus the truth, right? And so when that time comes, right, in that 7 year, right in that middle, everybody's peaceful. Oh, there's peace. Look, that's the true Messiah. He has peace between Jews, Muslims. I mean, he's gotten the whole World Council together, you know, the World Health Organization. Everybody's been vaccinated. Everybody's ready to wear a mask again because that man is able to establish peace. Look at him. Let's just all follow him. Peace. You see what's funny? Those videos that people watch online about the Antichrist system, why don't they show you about that? They're showing you all the bad stuff, right? And maybe some videos and dramas about people, you know, getting, you know, killed, etc. You know that there's going to be 3 years of peace. They don't talk about that. They just want you to focus on all the bad. But guys, there's going to be a season of peace. God is going to permit that. That's what's going to be the deception. Is it's going to be all good underneath the Antichrist. He is going to do his best to merge ecumenically everyone underneath his political agenda. He's going to be people-pleasing all day long. But right in the middle, man, he reveals himself who he is. He's going to go AWOL against Israel and the whole world, and he's going to begin to kill everybody that is not a part of his, if you will, secret agenda concerning religion underneath the beast and all that stuff. So it's very important that we understand that. But don't get too distracted with all that. Okay, point number two. Christ's armies enter in at the windows of the houses of the Lord's enemies like a thief, Joel 2:9. And then three, we already read it, Revelation 16:15. Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief." And you better be watching. So bottom page 589, although New Testament saints will take part in the day of the Lord, it will be from a much different perspective and in a much different role than that of the Jews or of unsaved Gentiles. The church, as part of the armies of the Lord, will return with the Lord Jesus as he comes to establish his kingdom. We will participate, although to varying degrees, in his millennial reign. We will certainly take part in the day of the Lord, but that day will not overtake us as a thief. We already learned that, 1 Thessalonians 5, because we would have already been gathered to the Lord years earlier, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Entonces, en ese día que viene, el día del Señor, lo cristiano, nosotros vamos a venir con él después de cuando raptura la iglesia, cuando nos lleva de esta tierra. El Señor va a regresar después de 7 años, y en esos tiempos nos seguimos con él, con caballos blancos, porque vamos a servir en su, ¿cómo se dice en español? En su, pues por otras palabras, en su militar. Entonces los cristianos vamos a servir continuamente al Señor en esos tiempos, aunque él hace todo. Él va a batallar, él va a juzgar, él va a pelear con sus enemigos. Nosotros vamos a venir con él sirviendo a sus mandamientos y que nos manda con nuestros trabajos. Cada cristiano va a hacer algo diferente durante ese tiempo, después del día del Señor. Do me a favor. Let's go to Revelation chapter number, I think it's 19:20. Give me a second here, guys. Revelation. Let's see here. Before we come to a close, let's go to Revelation. Very good. Yeah, let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Vamos al libro de Apocalipsis, capítulo 19. Antes que nos cerramos, before we close, let's just kind of refresh our minds with this future time of judgment that's going to take place concerning right before Christ returns to establish his 1,000-year reign. And then you, that is the Christian, what are you going to be doing? How are you going to return with him? And what is going to be your role in that, if you will, in that future context? So en estos tiempos, en Apocalipsis capítulo 19, esto es en el futuro. Esto va a pasar literalmente. Entonces, vamos a leerlo ya. Okay, look at verse 11. So here we have John once again writing, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. By the way, that is the Bible Jesus. A lot of religions don't like that Jesus. They like the flower power Jesus. They like the Jesus that makes everybody happy, you know, the hippie Jesus. They like the Jesus that doesn't judge, right, sin for what it is. But that's the Jesus of the Bible. He was the same Jesus that was crucified, the same Jesus that rose from the dead, that same Jesus who came humbly and meek, low, as a lamb to die for the soul, is the same Jesus who's going to come back as a conquering king to what? Fight, to judge, and to make war. So if you don't let Jesus save your soul now, you will be found fighting against him. And I'm just going to warn you now, you will not win against the creator of the universe. You will totally get smoked. So if you want to just, if you want to be on his good side, you better receive him while you have the goodness of his side to receive before it gets too late. Mira lo que dice en versículo 11. Y vi el cielo abierto y aquí un caballo blanco, y el que estaba sentado sobre él era llamado fiel y verdadero, y en justicia juzga y pelea. Esto es el Jesús de la Biblia. Esto no es el were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Y sus ojos eran como llama de fuego, y había en su cabeza muchas coronas, y tenía un nombre escrito que ninguno conocía sino él mismo. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Y estaba vestido de una ropa teñida en sangre, y su nombre es llamado el Verbo de Dios. Okay, are you ready, Christian? Here you come. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Y los ejércitos que están en el cielo les seguían en caballos blancos, vestidos de lino fino, blanco y limpio. Cristiano, ahí estás. Vas a venir en los ejércitos siguiendo a tu Señor, tu Salvador, pelear. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, now look at verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. We know that's the authority of his word. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Y de su boca sale una espada aguda. Is that how you say that, brother? Aguda? Para herir con ella a las naciones, y él las regirá con vara de hierro, y él pisa el lagar del vino del furor y de la ira del Dios Todopoderoso. And so we know that he has something else. Let's go down to Sigona. Look at verse number 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So guys, that's crazy. I don't mean it to distract your time, but they think they're going to have a chance. They got their armies. Look, they got all of their little world powers ready to go to make war against Jesus coming back from heaven. I mean, guys, they are willingly following the beast. So going back to your comment, Brother Joe, it's almost as if they're willingly enjoying the darkness and the prince of darkness to fight against the prince. Isn't that wild, brother? I just thought about that right now. Look at that. Y vi a la bestia y a los reyes de la tierra y a sus ejércitos reunidos para hacer guerra contra él que estaba sentado sobre el caballo y contra su ejército. Entonces, esto, gente que van a vivir en ese tiempo, en el futuro, es muy claro que van a querer de su voluntad libre seguir a las tinieblas, a seguir al bestia Satanás en vivir contrario y también a pelear contra el Señor. Fíjate, es algo de su decisión, su voluntad libre. And so we know that all that other stuff going on, the brimstone, all that. So I just want to show this with you real quick. The Lord is going to win. The Lord's going to win. Here we have it. let's just read it. Let's just read it. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Y la bestia fue apresada, y con ella el falso profeta que había hecho los milagros delante de ella, con los cuales había engañado a los que recibieron la marca de la bestia y habían adorado su imagen. Estos dos fueron lanzados vivos dentro de un lago de fuego, ardiendo con azufre. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his what? Mouth. So that's how we interpret that earlier, the authority of his word, right? When it says a sharp sword coming out of Jesus' mouth, that's the power of the Almighty God. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. By the way, there goes all your birds. Are going to have a good time eating some people. Amen. Y los demás fueron muertos con la espada que salía de la boca del que estaba sentado sobre el caballo, y todas las aves fueron saciados de las carnes de ellos. So there you have it. All those birds are going to turn like vultures. Amen. They're going to enjoy some black man, some white man, some green man. They're going to enjoy a buffet of man. Amen. So what are we talking about? Notice, ¿de qué estamos hablando otra vez? We're talking about the day of the Lord. Estamos hablando del día del Señor. Cuando el Señor Jesucristo regresa a la tierra, según ves, no regresa solo. Él va a regresar con los ejércitos, with the armies. ¿Y quién son ellos? Who are they? The Christian church, la iglesia cristiana, que él ya sacó de la tierra, ya los juzgó en el cielo para sus, ¿cómo se dice? Sus regalos, or how do you say rewards? Anybody remember that? We'll get that later. Premios? Okay, how about we just quickly, how do you say that, Jasmine? What'd you say? Anybody? Gibby? What was that? Okay, Gibby. Okay, watch this real quick. Let me just look up, or recibir su recompensa. I don't know if that's the recompensa. Okay, so cuando Cristo saca todos los cristianos de la tierra, un día, sí, todavía nosotros, Él nos va a juzgar. Pero ¿para qué? Para darnos recompensa. Nos va a bendecir con varias recompensas. Por eso, últimamente, la meta cada día que despertamos es: Señor, ¿cómo te puedo servir mejor hoy que ayer? Señor, ¿cómo puedo caminar más en tu luz? Porque yo no quiero la carne. Yo sé que la carne quiere seguir a las tinieblas. Yo no quiero pecar contra ti. Ayúdame el Señor para continuar sirviendo, te invierto a ti lo mejor que puedo. That's why, Christian, every day you wake up, your goal should be, Lord Jesus, how can I serve you better? Because even though we know we're not going to be judged to go to hell because we're saved by faith, you will still be judged for your reward. And that's going to be scary. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, knowing the of the Lord, we persuade men. So it's going to be scary. So if we don't get busy now, starting with the heart, church, you better be ready, because he'll talk to you about all the secret stuff. So now, moving forward, you come with him, right? After that, that all the supernatural stuff starts going down on the earth towards the end of the 7 years. Once all the light goes out, because the moon is going to be turned into, the sun will be turned into darkness. No wonder why everyone is going to be able to see Jesus. And somehow, some way, supernaturally, I heard a pastor say just today, you know what the Bible says in Revelation 1? And I never thought about this. Now, this is really, really unique. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to keep setting this out. But I just heard him say this today. Are you guys ready for this? Look at what the Bible says in Revelation 1:7. This is very interesting. Look at verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Where are those guys? They're in hell. Oh, man, when that pastor said, now I believe, he's an old country Baptist guy. I said, dang, I never thought about that. Wow. I mean, it literally says every eye. It literally says that in the Greek, every, okay? And they also which pierced him. So those Roman soldiers thousands of years ago that are burning down there right now, speaking in Latin or whatever, somehow, some way, if this is true and the interpretation thereof, right, the meaning, when God opens up heaven, because what did John say? I saw heaven open, right? So the supernatural, the third heaven is going to be glorious. I mean, God's glory and light is going to be shining so much. All the universe is dark. And remember that all the universe, no light. It's just the glory of God, third heaven, boom. Here comes Jesus coming down. Here comes all the saints, amen. There comes Brother Gibby on the little pony, but he made it, amen. So we're coming all the way down here, amen. And as we get down here, what does that Bible say? You got to remember, Jesus, he was an average man. He was a Jew. Jesus wasn't a 10-foot giant. He's not a 1,000-foot giant, right? So how is everyone going to see the same man that went up there? Well, again, supernaturally, God is going to somehow, some way permit even those inhabitants in hell to visually see the return of that man whom they pierce, and all of a sudden he reigns and rules forever. That's going to be wild. It says every eye, every eye. So what does that tell me? All those kids playing video games at that time, everybody hiding in a little cave, everybody in the wilderness, you know, the people that are in the third world, first world, during the end of that 7-year tribulation, the governments, the armies, everybody. Everybody is going to tremble, shake, because all of a sudden, God is going to supernaturally get everyone's attention to look to his son, and his son is going to be glorified, his son is going to be honored, his son is going to be praised, his son is going to be revered. Here he comes, he's coming all the way down here, and all of a sudden, what comes out of his mouth, Brother Joe? A sharp sword, and with it, what does it say? He is going to smite the nations, he's going to get that rod, he is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. What is he going to do with Satan? Kick that fool out. Throw him in that darkness, in that pit, right? The bottomless pit. The Antichrist, the false prophet. Peace. Peace will finally come back to this earth because the prince is coming. And God the Father is going to make sure every creature, I don't care if they're aliens or not, okay? The illegal ones coming from the border or not. I don't care. Every single creature is going to view the Son of Man, the Son of God, and wow, there he comes. Look at, there he comes. And you're going to be following as an entourage. Isn't that crazy? You know what? I'll leave you with this note. It was pretty wild today. Whenever they have a procession, someone dies, you know what they do? They block off the streets and then the people follow. We're going to be following the living Savior in on white horses. Go ahead, brother. That was good. That's a reasonable way to look at it. That's right. You can say that. I think that's reasonable to say, brother. Yes. Show me, brother, where's that verse at? No, you got it. You got it. Everything, everything. So if you guys get a chance when you read the Psalms, you know what the Bible song and my wife, we've been reading Psalms together. What do you have? The trees, mountains, the animals, the creatures, the sea creatures, every living thing. The rocks, they're all going to adore and welcome the Son of God coming back to rule and reign, the creator of every atom and element that makes their substance. And they're going to honor him. Everything is going to be restored. Let me show you on that note real quick, brother. Romans 8. Romans 8, look at this in verse number, I'll just leave you guys with this, and then we'll open up with comments, and we'll call it a night. Look at Romans 8 real quick in verse number 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, I can't read the dog's mind. I can't read the creature's mind. But if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, that creature is waiting for freedom. But it ain't going to come until the Prince of Peace comes back. It ain't going to happen until Jesus Christ comes back on this earth and rids it of that, if you will, that bondage, that vanity of sin's power over it, and the devil, etc., etc. So yeah, that's going to be cool. I mean, guys, there's some crazy Old Testament verses about mountains skipping like goats and just some cool stuff that's going to take place. But yes, the earth will be ready to receive its creator back. Amen. It's going to be, I mean, there's going to be shifts in mountains. Jerusalem is going to be, if you will, lifted. So the earthquake we read about in earthquakes, if you will, in Revelation, there's going to be some continental stuff. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. But you get to see that coming from behind him. Isn't that cool? Now, there's going to be Christians, guys, because remember, there's already Christians in heaven, the church, people who've already died in faith. They're already up there, but you're still down here. So we're all united, and that moment happens, and then the judgment seat of Christ, and then boom, we all get ready, strapped up. I'll be making sure to polish Brother Joe's, you know, armor. He can shine mine back here. And then boom, we all ready to go. We're going to be traveling with him back to this earth for what? We're not going to come back to build toilets in Mexico and teepees in Africa. What are we coming back to do? What did he say? War. Jesus is coming back to fight against those who didn't want him. Now, that's the Jesus of the Bible. You either bow the knee now or you bow the knee later. But at some point, you will have to bow the knee. I already bowed my knee. I said, Lord, man, thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. Thank you for forgiving me. I believe you are the Savior of the whole world, the Son of God. Help me to continue to be more like you. Please keep saving me. Please keep cleansing me from all this in here. So that way, when I see you one day, God, I won't have as much shame as I wouldn't otherwise. Amen. So yeah, that's good. Okay, anybody have any questions or comments about the day of the Lord or anything, you know, related to that? Or go ahead, brother. Yeah, that's good. You can say by the authority of his word, when he, this is the consequence. I'm kicking you out of the garden by the authority of his word. Well, he's coming back and there's going to be some authority from his word on structure in the earth, judgment of the nations, his world order. That's the new world order, by the way. I'm looking forward to Jesus, not the Antichrist. So there you go. New world order, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to look at it. Anybody else have any questions, comments, preguntas, comentados, or comentarios? Anybody out there? Comments? Everybody good? Okay. So if we know that this is going to happen, how should we be walking? Should we be walking in light or in darkness? Light, Gibby. Don't you be doing that. Darkness, man. Come on, man. Light. Light. Anybody else? One more thing. Let's see here. If we know that he's coming back, we know he's going to take the church out of the great tribulation, destruction. How should you be living, and how do you want Jesus to find you? That's a good question. Anybody here want to volunteer? How do you want him to catch you away? What do you want him to find you doing on that day? Anybody? Witnessing? Okay. Doing good? Playing video games? Anybody out there? No? Watching movies, anybody out there? No? Soul winning? So think about it. He said, the Son of Man, within a day or hour, that you won't know. I'm just paraphrasing. No one knows a day or hour. He said not even himself, but the Father. So he's not going to come back for the church until the Father says, Son. Oh, right hand. Son, it's time for you to go get your church. Woohoo! Jesus is ready. Because what has he been doing up there this whole... Anybody? He's been preparing what? Amen in glory, and it's mine. Anybody? Mansions. Come on, guys. Hey, he was a carpenter. He's the master builder, y'all. He's been building some mansions up there. So he is, Father, it's time. Man, it's time to go get my bride. He comes, right? The clouds, the shout of the archangel. Come on up. Every single redeemed sinner comes on up there. Amen. Born again, Christian. We get to be with him forever. So now, if you think about that, he's going to get you unto himself. He's going to bring you unto himself so you can be where he is. How should you be living so when you are found of him, we're not ashamed at his coming? I want to leave you with that note. Because as you guys can see, guys, Christianity is not a religion of force. God doesn't force you to do anything. It's all motivated by what? Say it. Love. It's all motivated by love. So if you love him, then you'll be willing to do what he wants for you to do. And by the way, my last comment I'll share with you, and that's what I pray for every single one of you every day. I pray for Jasmine, I pray for Gibby, I pray for Eileen, I pray for all of you guys by name. And you know what I ask the Lord? I don't say, Lord, help them to give more money, help them to give more time to the church. No, I say, Lord, help them to love you enough that they would be willing to do what you've commanded them to do. That's what I pray every single day. Because the more that you will love God, man, you'll do whatever for him because you love him, all right? Any more questions, comments before we close? Anyone else? Okay, well, guys, remember tomorrow our evangelism is canceled. If you guys can't go with us, then please pray for us. It's going to be a good fellowship. And Lord willing, we'll see you guys, if not Saturday night, then Sunday. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for allowing us to come together once again for a Friday night discipleship, Lord. I'm so glad, God, to be saved than a Christian, God. There's no better place I'd rather be than church, than hanging out with Christians just wanting to study this Bible, God. We all don't have it perfect. We all don't have perfect understanding. But, Lord, as we're all gaining better understanding, God, I'm thankful to know that I'm not alone in this walk with you, with people who have more interest in you than movies, than parties, than everything else this world, although a lot of that is not bad. But you know what I mean, God? This world wants to distract us from devoting more of our time and our body, our money, our effort to just study the Bible for 1 hour with some good Christian people. So God, thank you so much. I pray that you'd bless your children this evening, God, with good sleep. For those of us that are going to go to the trip, God, help us to have a good sleep so we can get up early. And Father, we thank you. And most of all, from what we learned tonight, would you please help us to love your son, Jesus, to be willing to do what he commanded us? Would you please help us to walk in the light, God? We all know the darkness we fight on a daily basis with our flesh. We know what our flesh wants to do that is not for you or not of you. We know what your Holy Spirit wants to do within every single one of our lives to help us to be more like your son, Jesus. Father, would you help us to be more like your son? Help us to be reminded of the pain that darkness brought our lives at one point so we don't be motivated to go back. God, help us to keep fellowshipping with you by walking in the light of your word. We thank you for what you're going to do within our lives and our church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, love you. God bless you. Amen. Look forward to fellowshipping with you.